I always love hearing that music on Fridays because it means it's time for Stroman on Sports. We welcome in Dr. Debbie Stroman, UNC professor, sports aficionado, former player, former coach. Lots going on and lots to celebrate with her in the world of sports. Deb, how are you doing? Happy Friday.
I am doing well. I had a wonderful, wonderful week. I am very blessed and honored to be able to work closely with the professionals at the Lineberger Cancer Center and spend some time with them this afternoon. And I am ready for another sports-filled weekend, starting with the WNBA tonight and the ongoing news with John Gruden.
Oh, yeah. There's been, well, let's get to John Gruden here in a second. Do want to shout out the WNBA Finals. What a great start. And these two teams, the Sky and the Mercury, playing against each other. It's so awesome to see stars like Candace Parker and Diana Taurasi going up against each other, too. But, you know, part of the shame about the NBA, the WNBA, is that the stars aren't spread out a little bit more. But it's pretty cool to see Brittany Griner and Diana Taurasi on the same team, and Candace Parker out there still shooting the lights out. Great start to that series. But you mentioned John Gruden. That was the main topic.
Well, thank you. Let me just mention,
you
are a man after my own heart. You mentioning dropping those names. I love to hear people who aren't women's basketball players to be able to reel off names. So I appreciate you, and I appreciate your knowledge base around women's sports.
Oh, absolutely. It's a blast of a league. People who love basketball should watch the WNBA because it is a lot of fun. Now, unfortunately, the other topic that we wanted to talk about today is certainly on the other side of the coin in terms of fun, lighthearted, something to celebrate. It is the most recent news in the NFL that has really taken this week by storm, which is, of course, former Las Vegas Raiders head coach John Gruden, who has been probably one of the most famous coaching personalities in the sport for the last few decades, ultimately resigning / being fired from the Raiders after emails from the last 7 years or so surfaced with him using racist language, but then also then misogynistic language, homophobic language. I mean, he kind of hit for the cycle of problematic reasons to be fired in terms of offending people. So Deb, I do want to start by saying, you know, what was your reaction when you heard about these emails coming out in these New York Times reports earlier this week?
Well, due to the nature of my work, I studied leadership in doc school, and I've applied it to racial equity education and to sport business. And so I'm not surprised anymore by this. Certainly, you know, being a Raiders fan, my Vikings are my heart. That is my NFC team. But when I think about the AFC, I do go way back to Oakland, and I'm a very loyal fan. And so I did have second thoughts when he won the NFL championship with Tampa Bay. And I do believe that it was Tony Dungy's team, and he rode that, and he got the W. But now, as we're hearing, that he was a bad egg back with Tampa when he was when he won the championship. In fact, one of the former players, a star player, said that he actually pulled the trophy away from the GM at the time, trying to hog the stage, so to speak. So he was questionable then. So I'm not surprised. But you know what we have to be mindful of is there are people like this in our midst. They are everywhere. You know, you don't have to use the N-word anymore to be anti-black and all the other isms that he touched upon. But no, I am not surprised.
It's interesting, and because you see people try and defend this, saying, oh, well, it was years ago. It was when he wasn't a coach in the league when some of these emails surfaced. But it's talking with people directly in the league. These emails came about as they are doing a big deep dive into the Washington football team and all of the, I don't know if scandal is necessarily the right word, but all of just the dysfunction that happens in that franchise. And John Gruden is out there sending these emails on an ESPN and team server and team addresses, I should say. So, you know, it's the fact that it is just out there is almost as, you know, it's less of there's no defense of saying that with a company email. There's no defense of saying that anyway, whether it's a long time ago. And I've seen a lot of people say now, oh, well, now that we know this, they look back on his coaching record, Deb, and they go, this guy had a really short rope when it comes to giving black quarterbacks a chance, giving black players a chance. You look at the leaders that he's had on his team and the coaches he's had, and suddenly you go, wait a minute, there is kind of a pattern here that we might not have seen before. And it has started discussions of, well, if this seems to be, you know, from these emails surfacing, talking with Bruce Allen of the Washington football team at the time, it seems to be a much more pervasive element of the NFL culture than just one bad egg, as to use the phrase that you just said.
Well, you just unpacked a lot there. I'll start off with the emails. They weren't old news. This mm-hmm. is something that he's been doing for years. And the bigger question to ask is, why did he feel so comfortable sending them? You know, I think if someone were to send me emails like that, there would be a response. At the very least, you know, don't dirty my inbox. Mm-hmm. But to have these ongoing dialogues with people using very hateful, ugly language, that in itself is problematic. Which means, of course, is Washington implicated? Is the NFL implicated? And that's why there are calls for, we want to see all the emails. Head coaches affect attitudes, and they certainly drive culture. And when you think about what is the culture of the NFL, well, they are kind of the last major league to arrive to the equity movement. Now, they did increase their social justice commitment to $250 million for 10 years last year. And they have distributed more than $180 million now. So the question becomes, are they doing charity work or justice work? And I'm not saying the charity is not needed. But when you have a, you know, multi-billion dollar industry like the NFL, and to not do the work that helps to create equity, as opposed to handing out dollars, whether it's giving somebody some book bags and, you know, here's money to go to the zoo or whatever, they pass the money out to social justice organizations. And again, that can be looked upon as favorable, but you're passing the baton to someone else. What is the work that you are going to do in your organization? And clearly, the NFL is still struggling. They can paint end racism in their in the red zone, in the touchdown area, as much as they want, but people want to see action.
Absolutely. And part of what makes this story so strange is we heard about the racist language before we heard about all the rest, and it seemed like, despite as awful as that was, he could have continued coaching. I mean, it's one of those things where we also don't fully know the timeline, but I think it's been reported that the Las Vegas Raiders knew about these emails before John Gruden was the head coach of the Raiders game on Sunday. And that also, it just continues to raise questions of, well, if these other emails hadn't gotten out, how long would he have been the coach, despite people knowing that this language was used? And that goes back to kind of what you're saying. Why does he feel comfortable saying this, and why is the league and people who are in charge of the league tolerant of this being the case anyway? And it's also that in and of itself is strange leadership, not just from Gruden, but also from the owners. But as we know, the NFL owners in general, looking back even at most recently at the Colin Kaepernick situation and him being blackballed from the league from owners, just taking a stand on that front, it goes to show how and why this league seems to be kind of late on the curve when it comes to social justice.
Well, I think you just hit on, what is institutional racism? What does it look like? What are the components of it? And in my work, there's a few things that we say, but one thing in particular is that institutional racism, it doesn't act in the face of need. And so, again, this isn't brand new. This has been going on for, you know, since the beginning of the NFL, right? And so you've been having people say that something is wrong, something is broken. Look at the outcomes. Look at what players are suffering from. You know, everything from the health and safety to opportunities to move up and to play certain positions, quarterback, offensive lineman, that used to be unfamiliar territory for black men. And then when we think about the hiring, you know, whether it's the general manager, or if we look at ownership. And so the institutional racism does not act in the face of need, regardless of the number of people who are in the streets protesting, the people who say, I'm not going to show up to work, the people who quit. That's what institutional racism does. The other thing is that it requires diversity. Institutional racism requires diversity. So now you can have a black mayor. You can have a Latino fire chief. You can have an Asian general manager. But it is the system. It is the institution. It's not about the individual. You know, we had President Obama. We have Oprah Winfrey. We've got Michael Jordan owning a team. And we've got three black coaches in the league, Tomlin, Flores, and Cully. So we can't be fooled by the N of 1 or the N of 12 or the N of 100, whether it's athletes, coaches, or executives. You know, we have to be mindful. We're talking about the collective. What are the overall disparities and inequities that are happening? And when you have the person who is a BIPOC, black, indigenous, person of color, to grab the microphone and say, well, coach was nice to me. I never saw him do anything racist. Again, you don't have to use the N word to be anti-black or anti-LGBTQ, to be anti, you know, womenism, you know, all of that. That's the reality. And this clearly, I mean, again, another case study on what does sport and racial equity, when you put those two together, what it looks like.
Absolutely. And to wrap up here in our last few moments, Deb, I am curious if you saw what I thought was a great display of leadership within that same division, the Los Angeles Chargers head coach, Brandon Staley, who this is his first year as a head coach, and we've already seen some videos of his press conferences going viral just in terms of him talking about his offensive scheme and how he approaches the game that way. But when asked about his reaction to this, he had what I thought was a great response in terms of saying, well, look, my first reaction in the focus is I feel badly for the people who are hurt by those emails and who are hurt by that language. And it makes it that much tougher for those communities to have trust in people who look like me. And I don't know if you've been able to see his comments, Deb, but I found that kind of leadership very encouraging in this. And it's just interesting to see the dichotomy of, well, here's a team in that same division, seemingly led by somebody, a younger coach, who has, at least on the front side, a very, very different outlook than Gruden.
Well, there's no doubt. You know, when I talk to my clients about this work and being justice warriors and fighting for equity, I list three pillars of this work that's required. You have to have trust. You have to have truth, as in what is actually going on, and not live in a bubble. And you have to have hope. And I think Coach Staley, I think he just hit all of that. In particular, he focused on trust. And when you're talking about building a community, building a team in a very, very stressful job, psychologically and physically, you have to have trust. And, you know, Gruden was able to succeed. And you can't dismiss that, the fact that he did win an NFL trophy. But it just shows so much more that people care about the heart. People care about humanity, and people don't care about all the toys and trinkets and trophies and everything that you win if you are being disrespectful, if you're being ugly, and you are not distributing power. And I know he's hurt careers. There is no doubt. Having this type of persona, you know, if your spirit is like this, then I know you've harmed people. So I'm thankful that the NFL made the decision. Somebody leaked it. Somebody said he's got to go. And, you know, sadly it happened like that. But the point is, it did happen. And we removed one more person who was not for justice and equity for everyone.
Absolutely. Well, that has certainly been the top story of the NFL this week. We'll see if it continues to be a focus as soon as games are played on Sunday. These types of things do tend to then take a back burner sometimes, but either way, appreciate you taking the time to discuss it with me today, Deb, as always, and hope you enjoy your weekend full of some Tar Heel sports and Tar Heel victories.
Absolutely. It's autumn. That means Tar Heels are winning. So congratulations to all the coaches, athletes, and players, and support staff. We'll have a great weekend.